This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, the weekend edition of Family Research Council's Washington Watch.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm your host, David Salkeld, a constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. A little later in the show, we'll be hearing from David DeLeiden as he shares what the state of California is doing to make sure that the truth about Planned Parenthood doesn't get revealed. Also, a group of congressmen are trying to fight human trafficking through the legislative process. Representative Tim Walberg is here with the details. But first, the long-anticipated revised health care bill was released by the Senate earlier this week. Entitled the Better Care Act, it's seen as a compromise between moderate and conservative Republicans. No Democrats are expected to vote for the bill, and Senator John Barrasso of Michigan joined Tony to talk about it.
Senator, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Well, thanks so much for having me. Let me just start by saying thank you for your leadership. It was such a privilege to serve with you on the platform committee at the Republican National Convention last summer in Cleveland. And as you and I both know, what the New York Times called it, the most conservative Republican platform in 100 years. And it was one I think we can be very proud of. So thanks for all of your work on that.
Well, I appreciate that, Senator. And the exciting thing about it is we're actually seeing this administration use that platform as kind of a roadmap for what they're doing.
So they started on day one with the regulations, repealing so many of these punishing regulations that were burdensome, expensive, time-consuming, that made it harder to put people back to work. You know, that's what people in Wyoming want, jobs, you know, paychecks, prosperity. That's what the American people are asking for, and the Trump administration is clearly delivering.
And, of course, a key part of that platform was doing away with Obamacare, and we're one step closer today with the Senate coming up with compromise language.
Well, and it's very good language. Look, we all know that Obamacare has failed. We had some hospital administrators in today, and we said, you know, they had some concerns. They said, well, hey, do you like the way it's going right now? Oh, no, we can't live with that either. So we had a good conference meeting this morning. A lot of important work has been done, specifically in terms of consumer freedom and choice, which, you know, is Ted Cruz's amendment that I support what we're trying to do. I think people all around the country ought to be able to buy what insurance they want, not what the government tells them to have, something that's right for them and they can afford. We're also allowing for people with health savings accounts to use that money, you know, that they put in with pre-tax dollars and use it to help pay their premiums. So it's a huge step forward, and I'm really hoping we get it passed and get it to the president's desk.
Additionally, Senator, there's been a lot of work going into to make sure that taxpayers are not forced into partnership with a Planned Parenthood, or their tax dollars are not going to fund abortions, which was a big problem with Obamacare.
Well, it was, and they call that health care. And to me, as a pro-life senator, that's not wellness. That's not health care. And I want to make sure that no taxpayer dollars are used for that. And we believe we've accomplished that. So we continue to work to replace Obamacare with patient-centered approach, get the decisions out of Washington, get them back home where people know what works best in their own communities. And specifically with Medicaid, you know, Obamacare hijacked Medicaid. It was intended for people who were low-income women, children, and the disabled. And instead, Obamacare used it as a dumping ground for working-aged, able individuals who want to be getting insurance through jobs rather than by crowding out on being on Medicaid, which makes it harder for those who are the most vulnerable to actually get to see a doctor. When one out of three doctors won't take a Medicaid patient, a new one, because there are so many people already on Medicaid and being more added, it makes it harder for those who are most vulnerable, who need the help the most.
Senator Barrasso, I know you've got to go catch a flight, but two more quick questions for you. One is,
sure,
the time frame here. What are we going to see a vote, we think, in the Senate next week on this bill?
No, that's the plan. We expect to get the final kind of scores from the Congressional Budget Office early next week and then go to the floor with a motion to proceed. You know, you need 50 votes. The vice president was at our conference meeting today. He's there to make sure that if we get to 50, he makes it 51 to break that tie, which is his role as president of the Senate. I'm committed to get there. We still work with everyone, but I thought it was a very solid, strong conference meeting today, an agreement that we want to repeal as absolute much of Obamacare as we can and replace it with patient-centered reforms. That's what we're all united to accomplish.
Does it look like at this point that we've got enough support among Republicans to get it over the top?
Nobody said this was ever going to be easy. There are certain folks that aren't as happy with us as they'd like in terms of Medicaid, and those particularly are senators in states that expanded Medicaid, whose governors are saying, well, hey, you can't take this away from people. But what we need to do is phase out this expansion of Medicaid to get back to the point where this partnership between states and the federal government is truly a partnership. You know, the Obama administration paid bonuses for states to sign up able-bodied working-age individuals onto Medicaid, which hurt the people that Medicaid was initially intended to help, the most vulnerable. And that's the debate now with some of the those who are reluctant to immediately sign on. They continue to focus on the Medicaid expansion, and they are in states that expanded Medicaid. But for states, those of us who are in states that did not expand Medicaid, we know that we've done the responsible thing and the right thing, and we need to make sure we get back to that initial intention of Medicaid.
Senator Brasso, parting question in 30 seconds. A lot of damage has been done to our healthcare delivery system through Obamacare. Can we reverse that and bring America's healthcare system back to a stronger position than it was before?
Well, it's critical that we do. Even before Obamacare was passed, we need a system better than what we had before Obamacare was passed.
Right.
When you listen to Bernie Sanders and the Democrats talk, they want they call it single payer, whatever you want to call it. It's government full control. If you see where when government controls health care, you see that with the VA system right now. You see the long lines and the concerns from our veterans. They're trying to get out of that system. But that's what Bernie Sanders and the Democrats, Elizabeth Warren and others, want for all of America, a system that is failing in Canada and failing in England in the sense that survivability in the United States is much higher for things like prostate cancer, breast cancer. And the reason is, it's not that our doctors are smarter than those other countries that have that single-payer, government-run plan. It's that you actually get care in the United States, not
right.
just get put on a waiting list.
Right.
And that's what a single-payer program would get you, a waiting list and rationing of care. Americans aren't going to tolerate that.
Senator John Brasso of Wyoming, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
You can find out more about the Better Care Act, as well as Senator Brasso, when you visit TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, why don't you consider a gift to Family Research Council as they continue to fight for your values in Washington, D.C. and around the country. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with the man who is sending shivers down the spine of Planned Parenthood.
The Center for Medical Progress continues to release shocking videos that expose the lies and crimes of Planned Parenthood. Come to Values Voter Summit to hear from David DeLeiden, the heroic undercover journalist behind the Planned Parenthood videos, as he discusses his journey and the courage it takes to stand up for the unborn. Other invited and confirmed speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Michelle Bachmann, Franklin Graham, Dana Loesch, and many more. Register now at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. California and its left-wing state government are at it again, trying to take down David DeLeiden and his work exposing the horrors of Planned Parenthood. This is yet another legal attack and a string the state has tried to level against David, this time against his criminal defense team. David joined Tony to talk about it on Wednesday.
David DeLeiden, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. It's great to be back on with you.
Well, it looks like we're living in a time when exposing the truth is can get you in trouble.
It's pretty outrageous what's going on here in our country and what's going on specifically here in California, which is where I'm blessed to live, although I guess also blessed to be very persecuted right now. I and CMP and my fellow investigators at CMP did in recording undercover videos of Planned Parenthood senior-level leadership callously negotiating the harvesting and sale of aborted baby body parts isn't any different from what local news journalists do here in the state of California every single day on our local news stations. And yet somehow I'm being prosecuted for that right now by the Attorney General of the state of California, but these other journalists are not. Why? The only difference is that I went after and exposed the sacred cows of the political establishment here in California, Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. That is the only difference, is whose ox is being gored in these videos. And that's why the prosecution against me and the different lawsuits from Planned Parenthood and the National Abortion Federation, all of that, they're not based on legal reasons. They're based on political reasons. And yeah, that's one of the reasons why it's so egregious.
It is. I mean, you look at these, you know, in today's world, there's a lot of investigative reporters. I mean, look at Michael Moore. That's how he made a name for himself, is doing things like this. Of course, he kind of created some of his material. But yours, you have people speaking for themselves, Planned Parenthood, other clinics that are trafficking in these aborted baby body parts. And let me say this too. You've got some really good attorneys representing you. And so when I think they tell you that, hey, this stuff needs to get out there, I'm thinking you're on pretty good legal ground, and you've got a good legal case to make with this gag order put on you by the judge.
That's true. That's true. So we do have. I'm very fortunate to have the representation in my criminal legal defense from Steve Cooley and Associates. Steve Cooley was the longtime district attorney of Los Angeles County for many, many years. He and his associate Brent Ferreira are just top notch legal experts, and so I'm not too worried on that front. I think that we're really fortunate to have them. But the big thing that we're up against here is that because the case that Planned Parenthood and their allies in the California Attorney General's office are bringing is overall legally such a weak case, they're relying on is the input of a highly biased, very deeply tied to Planned Parenthood federal judge, Judge William Orrick, who's the judge in the civil lawsuits from Planned Parenthood and NAF. And they're relying on him to basically put his thumb on the scales in the criminal case and try and skew it so that my lawyers and myself can't even use the videotape. The same videotape that the Attorney General is relying on as evidence for the prosecution, Judge Orrick is trying to say that we can't use those in my defense because of his gag order. And so it's this crazy catch-22 star chamber medieval-style prosecution where they want to have anonymous witnesses, they want to allow the prosecution to use the evidence, but they don't want to allow me and my lawyers to use the evidence. And so that's basically what happened yesterday, is that Judge Orrick, who, by the way, used to help run and help establish a Planned Parenthood clinic in San Francisco, which is where a lot of this was taking place, he promised and represented to us in the courtroom yesterday that he is not trying to interfere in the proceedings in the criminal case or interfere with my criminal defense, but he and his cronies are doing exactly that when they're saying that we're not allowed to use the exact same videos publicly in my defense or otherwise. We're not allowed to use the exact same videos that the Attorney General is relying on to prosecute me. So it's this crazy way that this federal judge in a civil lawsuit who has deep ties to Planned Parenthood is stepping into the middle of this state criminal proceeding under a separate sovereignty, under a separate legal proceeding, and really in a much more serious situation. You know, this is my defense in a criminal case. And he's trying to tell everybody how to do their job and what arguments we're allowed to make and what evidence we're allowed to put on and what we're not allowed to do. So it's crazy. This is really Soviet-style persecution, all at the bidding of Planned Parenthood to protect their abortion empire.
To me, it represents all that's wrong in our judicial system. This is an appalling abuse of power, in my view. And I don't know if this is the case, but I'm thinking by you guys posting that video and putting this out there is basically draw attention to say, hey, folks, look what's happening here. We have this federal judge that is clearly out of line. And if this can happen here to me for simply telling the truth, it can't stop. It can go anywhere.
That's true, and you know, and what we're also doing, we're certainly not taking this lying down, because Judge Orrick, the federal judge appointed by Barack Obama in 2013, has such deep ties to Planned Parenthood historically, and it appears to be ongoing. ties to them, ties to the very exact same Planned Parenthood affiliate that is a named plaintiff in his courtroom right now suing me. So he's not really a judge in this case. He's kind of a party. He's kind of a member of the plaintiff. That's how close he is to them.
Wow.
So we still have a pending motion to disqualify him because of his extensive ties to Planned Parenthood. And yet he and the National Abortion Federation, who are, you know, close allies and really proxies of Planned Parenthood, they were pushing ahead with this contempt proceeding yesterday, even though we've still got this outstanding motion that's pending to disqualify him on account of his extreme bias and prejudice and conflict of interest for the plaintiffs.
Incredible.
David, we're going to have to leave it there. We're up against a break, but we're going to track this closely and going to have you back on soon.
You can find out more about David DeLeiden and the Center for Medical Progress when you visit tonyperkins.com. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, helping you stay informed on the issues that matter to you. You can donate when you visit tonyperkins.com. When we come back, the House of Representatives takes action on human trafficking.
Hundreds of religious liberty violations have occurred in the United States in recent years, and FRC is at the forefront of the movement to preserve, protect, and defend religious liberty. In a newly updated publication, we catalog the growing threat to religious liberty with a comprehensive report of documented accounts of religious liberty violations that have occurred in the last 17 years. Go to frc.org/hostility for this exclusive publication.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. The House passed three bipartisan bills earlier this week to crack down on human trafficking and to implement a stronger detection system in the United States. The bills were sponsored by Representatives Chris Smith, Tim Walberg, and Vicky Hartzler. And Congressman Walberg joined Tony on Thursday to talk about it.
Congressman, first, congratulations on passing yesterday's bill.
Tony, thank you so much. Glad to have that opportunity, and it is just a step, but it reminds us that the spiritual need in this country and around the world, of course, but specifically in this country, is huge, and that we have to talk about stuff like this that really just goes against anything that God has intended for humankind. But nonetheless, this is why laws are necessary at times to make sure that people respond appropriately.
Tim, this issue of human trafficking is a much bigger problem than people realize, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. Globally, it's estimated that there are nearly 21 million people trapped in forced labor, labor of all types, including prostitution. In Michigan, 38 cases last year involving labor trafficking alone in my home state, a 52% increase in numbers reported since 2015, so it's going the wrong direction. And I think that's why there has been a real emphasis here in the House to push back against that, and now 16 separate bills dealing with various component parts of how we get at trafficking, we get at purveyors, we get at some of the websites, we get at some of the agencies. My bill directly went after the Department of Labor in giving them enhanced ability to watch what's going on.
So, Congressman, a lot of this is people being brought into the country, but there's also, domestically, there's issues of human trafficking.
There are, and it generally goes to people who get caught in either drugs or are homeless, runaways, etc., and someone offers them a so-called chance, a chance to make some money, a chance to be cared for, gets into a trap, and then they are truly trapped, now forced to do things that they never planned to do, and committed into a life that they can't get out of. The loneliness that must be there when they have this type of loss is a real challenge. So we're trying to hit it at all levels. My bill would give Department of Labor more training as they do inspections to know what to look for in a workplace, determine whether or not there may indeed be trafficked people there, ultimately know how to carry out investigations, and then what law enforcement agencies and components they can bring in. Some of the other bills deal with training even law enforcement to be more effective in dealing with this scourge, as well as putting money toward making sure that there are places that we can get people to and get them out of the process. So it is a comprehensive issue that we need to address in this country, and also try to globally assist other countries in getting their handle on it as well.
Now, you said one important part of fighting this unthinkable crime is strengthening our ability to detect and respond to patterns of labor exploitation. You talked about the Department of Labor being able to go and do these inspections. What type of stuff would they be looking for that would be indicators of individuals that are into forced labor?
Well, you can look at how people are treated in the work site. You can look at there's profiles of how the people appear, the way they hang their head at times, the secrecy, whether they're cloistered off somewhere. There are ways that you can determine that the site is not a good site because of the violations of health and safety. All of that type of thing can be useful, but this gives opportunity and encouragement to the Department of Labor to use the resources that are there, and we have resources out there, people who deal with this, agencies who deal with this, who understand what it means to be human trafficked and what it looks like and where it's taking place, and we want our inspectors who are going out to work sites to have that same training, so they're not just looking at the screening that's on machines, the type of concrete that's in place, the painting on the floors, the lighting, etc., but also looking into the faces of people that are in the workplace.
Does this, and I'm going to step back from the legislation for just a moment, Congressman, but does this not speak to a bigger problem of how we see human beings? You know, when we see them as created in the image of God, inherently having value, then we're less likely to mistreat fellow citizens or fellow human beings. But we've lost that in our society.
We have lost that, and more than lost it, we are pushing back against that concept now in many ways. Even the way we have really stepped upon religious liberties and seen those as something that are negotiable. Our framers and founders, you know as well as I do, Tony, saw this as a nation that was a nation built for freedom, built on biblical principles. There is no question about that. You just have to read the Federalist Papers and other documents of our founders, and you know for a fact that they were talking about a nation that had to be under the governance of God's principles if we were to survive. And because we were a nation of angels, we needed laws. But those laws were to back up those inalienable rights that are God-given, plus make sure that individuals were treated as entities that were created uniquely by a sovereign God that had best plans for their lives. That now is seen as wrong. In town halls that I've been at times, I've been jeered because I express the fact that I'm a Christian. I'm not trying to put it on anybody else, but I'm a Christian, and I think that should influence the way I deal with my position as a representative of the people, and it ought to make me better. To make me more trustworthy. But today we've seen that religion as something that's negotiable or that should be kept out of the public sphere. And I think that's been to our detriment when we've seen the breakdown of the families and seen that we can have alternate lifestyles that makes no difference, and yet it does. Why should we expect anything less than what we're seeing right now in a breakdown of the very foundations of our society and the opinions that hold us together?
Well, I commend the Congress, your leadership, obviously, but the bipartisan nature of Congress to deal with this issue of human trafficking. But it is a symptom, I see it, as of a greater problem. And as you just described, we have been trampling upon the very thing that preserves our society by the recognition that we are created in the image of God. Therefore, we inherently have value, and therefore we have no right to mistreat a fellow human being and force them into labor, whether that be, picking a particular product, a plant, produce, or enslaving them in sexual labor. We have no right to do that. But when you push that out of society, you lose that element. And I think we're reaping what has been sown over the last several decades.
I think we are, absolutely. And I think it should cause those of us who still have a understanding that there is a creator God, a sovereign God, who loves us, who cares for us, who has planned our lives for a positive purpose, that we stand up and be counted, yes, with grace and yet with firmness, with love expressed, but with a power that says, we are not going to accept this. We are going to push back against the darkness and try to display the light more effectively ourselves, and not take no for an answer. I think too often we have acquiesced, saying, well, that's for the world. And we're not of the world. Well, we are in it, and we are to be salt and light where we're at. And if we were salt and light consistently, whether it was in the boardroom or whether it was in the classroom, whether it was in the manufacturing site, whether it was in the farm production field, or whether it's in politics, we would make a difference, Tony. And I appreciate your voice that gets this type of thing out to people who listen and at least have an opportunity to contemplate where is my place? How can I be effective in displaying the truth in a gracious way, but a firm way as well.
And displaying that truth in season and out of season, you know, when it's welcomed and when it's not. And that's why I appreciate you and so many of your colleagues on Capitol Hill that are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and stand firm for those beliefs and those transcendent truths, and do so in a way that I think is God-honoring and is winsome in winning others over. Congressman Tim Walberg, as always, great to talk with you, my friend.
Good to talk with you, and thanks for the work you do.
If you want to find out more about Congressman Walberg and the human trafficking legislation, just head on over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. And if you find the weekend edition of Washington Watch informative and useful, we'd encourage you to tell your friends about Washington Watch. You can help us reach more people with this radio ministry by supporting our efforts and heading over to TonyPerkins.com and clicking on the donate button. Well, that's it for this week's show. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 866-372-7234.